Chapter 12. A Lily in Winter. Another serving man nearly fell on his nose, bowing, and Elaine sighed as she glided past along the palace corridor. At least she tried to glide. The daughter heir of Andor, stately and serene. She wanted to run, though her dark blue skirts probably would have tripped her had she tried. She could almost feel the stout man's goggling eyes following her and her companions. A minor irritant and one that would pass, a grain of sand in her slipper. Rand bloody thinks he knows best for everybody Althor is itch oak down my back, she thought. If he managed to get away from her this time. Just remember, she said firmly. He hears nothing about spies or Forkroot or any of that. The very last thing she needed was him deciding to rescue her. Men did that sort of nonsense, Nynaeve called it, thinking with the hair on their chests. Light. He would probably try to move the Aiel and the Saldaeans back into the city, into the palace itself. Bitter as it was to admit, she could not stop him if he did, not short of open war, and even that might not be enough. I don't tell him things he doesn't need to know, Min said, frowning at a lanky, wide-eyed serving woman whose curtsy nearly collapsed into a sprawl on the red-brown floor tiles. Eyeing Min sideways, Elaine remembered her own time wearing breeches, and wondered whether she might not try again. They were certainly freer than skirts. Not the heeled boots, though, she decided judiciously. They made Min almost as tall as Avienda, but even Birgitta swayed in those, and with Min's snug breeches and a coat that barely covered her hips, it looked positively scandalous. "You lie to him?" Suspicion larded Avienda's tone. Even the way she adjusted her dark shawl on her shoulders carried disapproval, and she glared past Elaine at Min. "Of course not," Min replied sharply, glaring right back. "Not unless it's necessary." Avienda chuckled, then looked startled that she had, and put on a stony face. What was she to do about them? They had to like one another. They just had to. But the two women had been staring at each other like strange cats in a small room ever since they met. Oh, they had agreed to everything. There really had been no choice. Not when none of them could guess when they would all have the man at hand again. But she hoped they did not show one another again how skillfully they handled their knives. Very casually, not actually implying any threat, but very open about it, too. On the other hand, Avienda had been quite impressed with the number of knives Min carried about her person. A gangly young serving man carrying a tray of tall mantles for the stand lamps bowed as she swept by. Unfortunately, he was staring so hard that he forgot to pay attention to his burden. The crash of glass shattering on the floor tiles filled the corridor. Elaine sighed again. She did hope everyone became used to the new order of things soon. She was not the object of all that gaping, of course, or Avienda, or even Min, though she probably drew some. No, it was Cassela and Denny, following close behind, who were making eyes pop and servants stumble. She had 8 bodyguards now, and those 2 had been standing guard at her door when she woke. Very likely some of the gaping was just that Elaine had guardswomen trailing behind her at all, and almost certainly that they were women. No one was used to that yet. But Birgitta had said she would make them appear ceremonial, and she had. She must have set every seamstress and milliner in the palace working as soon as she left Elaine's rooms the night before. Each woman wore a bright red hat with a long white plume lying flat along the wide brim, and a wide red sash edged in snowy lace across her chest, with rampant white lions marching up it. Their white-collared crimson coats were silk, and the cut had been altered a little, so they fit better and hung almost to the knee above scarlet breeches with a white stripe up the outsides of the legs. Pale lace hung thickly at their wrists and necks, and their black boots had been waxed till they shone. They looked quite dashing, and even placid-eyed Denny swaggered just a little. Elaine suspected they would be even prouder once the sword belts and scabbards with gold tooling were ready, and the lacquered helmets and breastplates. Birgitta was having breastplates made to fit women, which Elaine suspected had certainly made the palace armorer's eyes pop. At the moment, Birgitta was busy interviewing women to round out the 20 for the bodyguard. Elaine could feel her concentrating with no sign of physical activity, so it must be that, unless she was reading or playing stones, and she seldom took a moment away from her duties for herself. Elaine hoped she would keep it to just 20. She hoped Brigitte was busy enough that she did not notice until too late when she masked the bond. To think that she had been so worried about Brigitte sensing what she did not want her to when the solution lay in a simple question to Van Deen. The answer had been a rueful reminder how little she actually knew about being Aes Sedai, especially the parts other sisters took for granted. Apparently every sister who had a warder knew how, even those who remained celibate. It was odd how things came about sometimes. If not for the bodyguards, if not for wondering how she could manage to elude them and Brigitte, she would never have thought to ask, would never have learned the masking in time for this. Not that she planned to elude her guards any time soon, but it was best to be prepared in advance of need. Brigitte certainly was not going to allow her and Avienda to wander the city alone, day or night, not any longer. Their arrival at Nynaeve's door put thoughts of Brigitte completely out of her head, except that she must not mask the bond until the very last instant. Rand was on the other side of that door. Rand, who sometimes crowded her thoughts until she wondered whether she was like some fool woman in a story who threw her head over the wall because of a man. She had always thought those stories must have been written by men. Only Rand sometimes did make her feel witless. At least he did not realize it, thank the light. "Wait out here and admit no one," she commanded the guards' women. She could not afford interruptions or attention now. With luck, her bodyguard was new enough that no one would even recognize what their fine uniforms meant. "I will only be a few minutes." They saluted briskly, an arm across the chest, and took positions on either side of the door, Kasela stone-faced with a hand on her sword hilt, Denny taking her long cudgel in both hands and smiling faintly. Elaine was sure the stocky woman thought Min had brought her here to meet a secret lover. She suspected Kasela might as well. They had hardly been as discreet in front of the two women as they might have. No one had mentioned his name, but there had been more than enough of he this and he that. At least neither had tried making an excuse to leave so she could report to Brigitte. If they were her bodyguard, then they were her bodyguard, not Brigitte's. Except that they would not keep Brigitte out if she masked the bond too soon. And she was dithering, she realized. The man she dreamed of every night was on the other side of that door, and she was standing there like a witling. She had waited so long, wanted so much, and now she was almost afraid. She would not let this go wrong. With an effort, she gathered herself. "Are you ready?" Her voice was not as strong as she could have hoped, but at least it did not tremble. Butterflies the size of foxes fluttered in her stomach. That had not happened in a long time. "Of course," Avienda said, but she had to swallow first. "I'm ready," Min said faintly. They went in without knocking, hurriedly closing the door behind them. Nynaeve jumped to her feet, wide-eyed, before they were well into the sitting room, but Elaine barely noticed her or Lan, though the sweet smell of the warder's pipe filled the room. Rand really was there. It had been hard to believe he would be. That dreadful disguise Min had described was gone, except for the shabby clothing and rough gloves, and he was beautiful. He leaped from his chair at the sight of her, too, but before he was completely upright he staggered and grabbed the table with both hands, gagging and heaving with dry retches. Elaine embraced the source and took a step toward him, then stopped and made herself let go of the power. Her ability with healing was tiny, and anyway Nynaeve had moved as quickly as she, the shine of Sidar suddenly around her, hands raised toward Rand. He recoiled, waving her away. "It's nothing you can heal, Nynaeve," he said roughly. "In any case, it seems you win the argument." His face was a rigid mask hiding emotion, but his eyes seemed to Elaine to be drinking her in, and Avienda as well. She was surprised to feel gladdened by that. She had hoped it would be that way, hoped she could manage for her sister's sake, and now it took no managing at all. Straightening up was a visible effort for him, and pulling his gaze away from her and Avienda, though he tried to hide both. "It is past time to be gone, Min," he said. Elaine's jaw dropped. "You think you can just go without even speaking to me? To us?" she managed. "Men." Min and Avienda breathed at almost the same instant, and gave one another startled looks. Hastily, they unfolded their arms. For an instant, despite the disparity in just about everything about them, they had been almost mirror images of womanly disgust. "The men who tried to kill me in Carrion would turn this palace into a slag heap if they knew I was here," Rand said quietly. "Maybe if they just suspected. I suppose Min told you it was Ashaman. Don't trust any of them. Except for three, maybe. Dahmer Flynn, Jahar Narishma, and Eben Hopwill. You may be able to trust them. For the rest..." He clenched gauntleted fists at his sides, seemingly unaware. "Sometimes a sword turns in your hand, but I still need a sword. Just stay away from any man in a black coat. Look, there's no time for talking. It's best I go quickly." She had been wrong. He was not exactly as she had dreamed of him. There had been a boyishness about him sometimes, but it was gone as if burned away. She mourned that for him. She did not think he did, or could. "He is right in one thing," Lan said around his pipe stem with the same sort of quiet, another man who seemed never to have been a boy. His eyes were blue ice beneath the braided leather cord that encircled his brows. "Anyone near him is in great danger. Anyone." For some reason, Nynaeve snorted, then put her hand on a leather scrip with hard bulges lying on the table and smiled, though after a moment her smile faltered. "Do my first sister and I fear danger?" Avienda demanded, planting her fists on her hips. Her shawl slipped from her shoulders and fell to the floor, but she was so intent that she seemed unaware of the loss. "This man has toe to us, Aanalein, and we to him. It must be worked out." Min spread her hands.
"I don't know what anybody's toes have to do with anything, or feet either, but I'm not going anywhere until you talk to them, Rand."
She affected not to notice Avienda's outraged glare. Sighing, Rand leaned against a corner of the table and raked gloved fingers through the dark reddish curls that hung to his neck. He seemed to be arguing with himself under his breath. "I'm sorry you ended up with the Suldam and Damani," he said finally. He did sound sorry, but not very. He might have been regretting the cold. "Taim was supposed to deliver them to the sisters I thought were with you, but I suppose anyone can make a mistake like that. Maybe he thought all those wisdoms and wise women Nynaeve has gathered were Aes Sedai." His smile was quiet. It did not touch his eyes. "Rand," Min said in a low, warning tone. He had the nerve to look at her questioningly, as if he did not understand, and he went right on. "Anyway, you seem to have enough of them to hold on to a handful of women until you can turn them over to the other sisters, the ones with Egwene. Things never turn out quite the way you expect, do they? Who would have thought a few sisters running away from Elida would grow into a rebellion against the White Tower, with Egwene as Amarlin, and the Band of the Red Hand for her army? I suppose Matt can stay there a while." For some reason he blinked and touched his forehead, then went on in that irritatingly casual tone. "Well, a strange turn of events all around. At this rate, I won't be surprised if my friends in the tower work up enough courage to come out in the open." Arching an eyebrow, Elaine glanced at Nynaeve. Wisdoms and wise women? The band was Egwene's army, and Matt was with it? Nynaeve's attempt at wide-eyed innocence made her look like guilt nailed to a door. Elaine supposed it did not matter. He would learn the truth soon enough, if he could be talked into going to Egwene. In any case, she had more important matters to take up with him. The man was babbling, however offhand he managed to sound, tossing out anything they might snap at in hopes of diverting them. "It won't do, Rand." Elaine tightened her hands on her skirts to keep herself from shaking a finger at him. Or a fist. She was not sure which it would be. The other sisters? The real Aes Sedai, he had been about to say. How dare he? And his friends in the tower? Could he still believe Alviarin's strange letter? Her voice was cool and firm and steady, brooking no nonsense. None of that matters a hair, not now. You and Avienda and Min and I are what we need to talk about. And we will. We all will, Rand Althor, and you are not leaving the palace until we do. For the longest time he simply looked at her, his expression never changing. Then he inhaled audibly, and his face turned to granite.
"I love you, Elaine."
Without a pause, he went on, words rushing out of him, water from a burst dam, and his face a stone wall.
"I love you, Avienda. I love you, Min. And not one a whisker more or less than the other two. I don't just want one of you, I want all three. So there you have it. I'm a lecher. Now you can walk away and not look back. It's madness anyway. I can't afford to love anybody."
"Rand Althor," Nynaeve shrieked. "That is the most outrageous thing I ever heard out of your mouth. The very idea of telling three women you love them. You're worse than a lecher. You apologize right now."
Lan had snatched his pipe from his mouth and was staring at Rand.
"I love you, Rand," Elaine said simply. "And although you haven't asked, I want to marry you."
She blushed faintly, but she intended to be much more forward before very long, so she supposed this hardly counted. Nynaeve's mouth worked, but no sound came out.
"My heart is in your hands, Rand," Avienda said, treating his name like something rare and precious. "If you make a bridal wreath for my first sister and me, I will pick it up."
And she blushed, too, trying to cover it in bending to take her shawl from the floor and arranging it on her arms. By Aiel customs, she should never have said any of that. Nynaeve finally got a sound out, a squeak.
"If you don't know by this time that I love you," Min said, "then you're blind, deaf, and dead."
She certainly did not blush. There was a mischievous light in her dark eyes, and she seemed ready to laugh.
"And as for marriage, well, we'll work that out between the three of us. So there."
Nynaeve took a grip on her braid with both hands and gave it a steady pull, breathing heavily through her nose. Lan had begun an intense study of the contents of his pipe's bowl. Rand examined the three of them as if he had never seen a woman before, and wondered what they were.
"You're all mad," he said finally. "I'd marry any of you. All of you, the light help me. But it can't be, and you know it."
Nynaeve collapsed into a chair, shaking her head. She muttered to herself, though all Elaine could understand was something about the women's circles swallowing their tongues.
"There is something else we need to discuss," Elaine said. "Light. Min and Avienda could have been looking at a pastry." With an effort, she managed to make her own smile a little less eager. "In my rooms, I think. There's no need to bother Nynaeve and Lan."
Or rather, she was afraid that Nynaeve would try to stop them if she heard. The woman was very quick to use her authority when it came to Aes Sedai matters.
"Yes," Rand said slowly, and then, strangely, added, "I said you'd won, Nynaeve. I won't leave without seeing you again."
"Oh," Nynaeve gave a start. "Yes, of course not. I watched him grow up," she blathered, turning a sickly smile on Elaine. "Almost from the start. Watched his first steps. He can't go without a good long talk with me." Elaine eyed her suspiciously. Light, she sounded for all the world like an aged nurse, though Lini had never babbled. She hoped Lini was alive and well, but she was very much afraid that neither was true. Why was Nynaeve carrying on in this fashion? The woman was up to something, and if she was not going to use her standing to carry it off, it was something even she knew was wrong. Suddenly Rand seemed to waver, as though the air around him were shimmering with heat, and everything else flew out of Elaine's head. In an instant he was someone else, shorter and thicker, coarse and brutish, and so repulsive to look at that she did not even consider the fact that he was using the male half of the power. Greasy black hair hung down onto an unhealthily pale face dominated by hairy warts, including one on a bulbous nose above thick slack lips that appeared on the edge of drooling. He squeezed his eyes shut and swallowed, hands gripping the arms of his chair, as if he could not stand to see them look at him. "You are still beautiful, Rand," she said gently.
"Ha!" Min said. "That face would make a goat faint."
Well, it would, but she should not have said so.
Avienda laughed. "You have a sense of humor, Min Farshaw. That face would make a herd of goats faint."
"Oh, light, it would."
Elaine swallowed a giggle just in time.
"I am who I am," Rand said, pushing himself up out of the chair. "You just won't see it."
At Denny's first sight of Rand in his disguise, the smile slid crookedly off the stocky woman's face. Casella's mouth dropped open. So much for thoughts of secret lovers, Elaine thought, laughing to herself in amusement. She was sure he drew as many stares as the guardswomen, shambling along between them with a sullen scowl. Certainly no one could suspect who he was. The servants in the corridors probably thought he had been apprehended in some crime. He certainly had the look. Casella and Denny kept a hard eye on him, as if they thought so, too. The guardswoman came near to arguing when they realized she intended them to wait outside her apartments while the three of them took him inside. Suddenly Rand's disguise did not seem amusing at all any longer. Casella's mouth thinned, and Denny's wide face set in stubborn displeasure. Elaine almost had to wave her great serpent ring beneath their noses before they took positions beside her door, scowling. She shut the door softly, cutting off the sight of their frowns, but she wanted to slam it. Light! The man could have chosen something a little less unsavory for his disguise. And as for him, he went straight to the inlaid table, leaning against it while the air around him shimmered, and he became himself once more. The dragon's heads on the backs of his hands glittered metallically, scarlet and gold. "I need a drink," he muttered thickly, catching sight of the tall-necked silver pitcher on the long side table against the wall. Still not looking at her or Min or Avienda, he walked over unsteadily and filled a silver wine cup that he half-drained in one long swallow. That sweet, spicy wine had been left when her breakfast was taken away. It must be cold as ice by now. She had not been expected to return to her room so soon, and the fire on the hearth had been banked down between ashes. But he made no move she could see to warm the wine by channeling. She would have seen steam, at least. And why had he walked to the wine instead of channeling to bring it to him? That was the sort of thing he always did, floating wine cups and lamps about on flows of air. "Are you well, Rand?" Elaine asked. "I mean, are you sick?" Her stomach tightened at the thought of what sickness it might be with him. "Nynaeve can—" "I'm as fine as I can be," he said flatly, still with his back to them. Emptying the cup, he began to fill it again. "Now what is it you don't want Nynaeve to hear?" Elaine's eyebrows shot up, and she exchanged looks with Avienda and Min. If he had seen through her subterfuge, Nynaeve certainly had. Why had she let them go? And how had he seen through it? Avienda shook her head slightly in wonder. Min shook hers, too, but with a grin that said you just had to expect this sort of thing now and then. Elaine felt the smallest stab of, not quite jealousy. Jealousy was out of the question for them. Just irritation that Min had had so much time with him and she had not. Well, if he wanted to play surprises... "We want to bond you our warder," she said, smoothing her dress under her as she took a chair. Min sat on the edge of the table, legs dangling, and Avienda settled onto the carpet cross-legged, carefully spreading out her heavy woolen skirts. "All three of us. It is customary to ask first." He spun around, wine sloshing out of his cup, more pouring from the pitcher before he could bring it upright. With a muttered oath, he hastily stepped out of the spreading wetness on the carpet and put the pitcher back on the tray. A large damp spot decorated the front of his rough coat, and droplets of dark wine that he tried to brush away with his free hand. Very satisfactory. "You really are mad," he growled. "You know what's ahead of me. You know what it means for anyone I'm bonded to. Even if I don't go insane, she has to live through me dying. And what do you mean, all three of you? Min can't channel. Anyway, Alana Mosvani got there ahead of you, and she didn't bother asking. She and Varen were taking some Two Rivers girls to the White Tower. I've been bonded to her for months now." "And you kept it from me, you wool-headed sheepherder?" Min demanded. "If I'd known—" She deftly produced a slim knife from her sleeve, then glared at it and glumly put it back. That cure would have been as hard on Rand as on Alana. "This was against custom," Avienda said, half questioning. She shifted on the carpet and fingered her belt knife. "Very much so," Elaine replied grimly. That a sister would do that to any man was disgusting. That Alana had done it to Rand. She remembered the dark, fiery green with her quicksilver humor and her quicksilver temper. "Alana has more toe to him than she could repay in a lifetime, and to us. Even if she doesn't, she will wish I had just killed her after I lay hands on her."
after we lay hands on her," Avienda said, nodding for emphasis. "So," Rand peered into his wine. "You can see there's no point in this. I think I'd better go back to Nynaeve now. Are you coming, Min?"
Despite what they had told him, he sounded as though he did not really believe, as if Min might abandon him now. He did not sound afraid of it, only resigned.
"There is a point," Elaine said insistently. She leaned toward him, trying by the force of her will to make him accept what she was saying. "One bond doesn't ward you against another. Sisters don't bond the same man because of custom, Rand, because they don't want to share him, not because it can't be done. And it isn't against Tower law, either. Of course, some customs were as strong as law, at least in the eyes of the sisters. Nynaeve seemed to go on more every day about upholding Aes Sedai customs and dignity. When she learned of this, she would probably explode right through the roof."
"Well, we do want to share you. We will share you, if you agree."
How easy it was to say that. She had been sure she could not, once, until she came to realize that she loved Avienda as much as she did him, just in a different way. And Min, too, another sister, even if they had not adopted one another. She would stripe Alana from top to bottom for touching him, given the chance, but Avienda and Min were different. They were part of her. In a way, they were her, and she them.
She softened her tone. "I am asking, Rand. We are asking. Please let us bond you."
"Min," he murmured, almost accusingly. His eyes on Min's face were filled with despair. "You knew, didn't you? You knew if I laid eyes on them." He shook his head, unable or unwilling to go on.
"I didn't know about the bonding until they told me less than an hour ago," she said, meeting his gaze with the most gentle look Elaine had ever seen. "But I knew, I hoped, what would happen if you saw them again. Some things have to be, Rand. They have to be."
Rand stared into the wine cup, moments seeming to stretch like hours, and at last set it back on the tray. "All right," he said quietly. "I can't say I do not want this, because I do. The light burned me for it. But think of the cost. Think of the price you'll pay."
Elaine did not need to think of the price. She had known it from the beginning, had discussed it with Avienda to make sure she understood, too. She had explained it to Min. "Take what you want and pay for it," the old saying went. None of them had to think about the price. They knew, and they were willing to pay. There was no time to waste, though. Even now, she did not put it past him to decide that price was too high, as if that were his decision to make. Opening herself to Saidar, she linked with Avienda, sharing a smile with her. The increased awareness of one another, the more intimate sharing of emotions and physical feelings, was always a pleasure with her sister. It was very much like what they would soon share with Rand. She had worked this out carefully, studied it from every angle. What she had been able to learn of the Aiel adoption weaves had been a great help. That ceremony had been when the idea first came to her. Carefully she wove spirit, a flow of over 100 threads, every thread placed just so, and laid the weave on Avienda sitting on the floor, then did the same to Min on the table's edge. In a way, they were not two separate weaves at all. They glowed with a precise similarity, and it seemed that looking at one, she saw the other as well. These were not the weaves used in the adoption ceremony, but they used the same principles. They included. What happened to one meshed in that weave happened to all in it. As soon as the weaves were in place, she passed the lead of the circle of two to Avienda. The weaves already made remained, and Avienda immediately wove identical weaves around Elaine and around Min again, blending that one until it was indistinguishable from Elaine's before passing control back. They did that very easily now, after a great deal of patience. Four weaves, or rather three now, yet they all seemed the same weave. Everything was ready. Avienda was a rock of confidence as strong as anything Elaine had ever felt from Brigitta. Min sat gripping the edge of the table, her ankles locked together. She could not see the flows, but she gave an assured grin that was only spoiled a little when she licked her lips. Elaine breathed deeply. To her eyes, they three were surrounded and connected by a tracery of spirit that made the finest lace seem drab.
now if only it worked as she believed it would. From each of them, she extended the weave in narrow lines toward Rand, twisting the three lines into one, changing it into the warder bond. That she laid on Rand as softly as if she were laying a blanket on a baby. The spider-web of spirit settled around him, settled into him. He did not even blink, but it was done. She let go of Sidar. Done. He stared at them, expressionless, and slowly put his fingers to his temples. "Oh, light, Rand, the pain," Min murmured in a hurt voice. "I never knew. I never imagined. How can you stand it? There are pains you don't even seem to know, as if you've lived with them so long they're part of you. Those herons on your hands, you can still feel the branding. Those things on your arms hurt. And your side. Oh, light, your side. Why aren't you crying, Rand? Why aren't you crying?" "He is the Karakarn," Avienda said, laughing. "As strong as the threefold land itself." Her face was proud. Oh, so proud. But even as she laughed, tears streamed down her sun-dark cheeks. "The veins of gold. Oh, the veins of gold. You do love me, Rand." Elaine simply stared at him, felt him in her head. The pain of wounds and hurts he really had forgotten. The tension and disbelief. The wonder. His emotions were too rigid, though, like a knot of hardened pine sap, almost stone. Yet laced through them, golden veins pulsed and glowed whenever he looked at Min, or Avienda, or her. He did love her. He loved all three of them, and that made her want to laugh with joy. Other women might find doubts, but she would always know the truth of his love. "The lights send you know what you've done," he said in a low voice. "The lights send you aren't..." The pine sap grew a trifle harder. He was sure they would be hurt, and was already steeling himself.
I have to go now. At least I'll know you are all well now. I won't have to worry about you."
Suddenly he grinned. He might have looked almost boyish if it had reached his eyes. "Nynaeve will be frantic thinking I've slipped away without seeing her. Not that she doesn't deserve a little flustering." "There is one more thing, Rand," Elaine said, and stopped to swallow. Light, she had thought this would be the easy part. "I suppose Avienda and I have to talk while we can," Min said hurriedly, springing off the table. "Somewhere we can be alone, if you'll excuse us." Avienda rose from the carpet gracefully, smoothing her skirts.
"Yes, Min Farshaw and I must learn about one another."
She eyed Min doubtfully, adjusting her shawl, but they left arm in arm. Rand watched them warily, as if he knew their leaving had been planned. A cornered wolf. But those veins of gold gleamed in her head.
"There is something they have had from you that I haven't," Elaine began, and choked, a flush scalding her face.
Blood and ashes! How did other women go about this? Carefully she considered the bundle of sensations in her head that was him, and the bundle that was Birgitta. There was still no change in the second. She imagined wrapping it in a kerchief, knotting the kerchief snugly, and Birgitta was gone. There was only Rand.
And those shining golden veins.
Butterflies the size of wolfhounds drummed their wings in her middle. Swallowing hard, she took a long breath.
"You will have to help me with my buttons," she said unsteadily. "I cannot take this dress off by myself."
The two guardswomen stirred when Min came into the corridor with the Aiel woman and jerked erect when they realized, as Min closed the door, that no one else was coming out.
"Her taste can't be that bad,"
the blocky, sleepy-eyed one muttered under her breath, hands tightening on her long cudgel. Min did not think anyone had been meant to hear.
"Too much courage and too much innocence," the lean, mannish one growled. "The Captain General warned us about that."
She put a gauntleted hand on the lion-headed door latch.
"You go in there now, and she might skin you, too," Min said blithely. "Have you ever seen her in a temper? She could make a bear weep."
Avienda disengaged her arm from Min's and put a little distance between them.
It was the guardswomen who received her scowl, though. "You doubt my sister can handle a single man? She is Aes Sedai and has the heart of a lion, and you are oath sworn to follow her. You follow where she leads, not put your noses up her sleeve."
The guardswomen exchanged a long look. The heavier woman shrugged. The wiry one grimaced, but she took her hand from the door latch.
"I'm oath sworn to keep that girl alive," she said in a hard voice, "and I mean to. Now you children go play with your dolls and let me do my job."
Min considered producing a knife and performing one of the flashy finger rolls Tom Marilyn had taught her, just to show them who was a child. The lean woman was not young, but there was no gray in her hair, and she looked quite strong and quick. Min wanted to believe some of the other woman's bulk was fat, but she did not. She could not see any images or auras around either, but neither looked in the least afraid to do whatever she thought needed doing. Well, at least they were leaving Elaine and Rand alone. Maybe the knife was unnecessary. From the corner of her eye she caught sight of the Aiel reluctantly letting a hand fall from her belt knife. If the woman did not stop mirroring her this way, she was going to start thinking there was more to this jiggery-pokery with the power than she had been told. Then again, it had begun before the jiggery-pokery. Maybe they just thought alike. A disturbing idea. Light. All this talk about him marrying all three of them was very well for talk, but which one was he really going to marry? "Elaine is brave," she told the guards. "As brave as anybody I've ever met. And she isn't stupid. If you start off thinking she is, you'll soon go wrong with her." They stared down at her from the vantage of an added 15 or 20 years, solid, unperturbed, and determined. In a moment they would tell her to run along again. "Well, we can't stand around here if we're going to talk, can we, Avienda?"
"No," the Aiel woman breathed in a tight voice, glaring at the guardswomen. "We cannot stand here."
The guardswomen took no notice of their going at all. They had a job to do, and it had nothing to do with watching Elaine's friends. Min hoped they did their job well. "She isn't at all stupid," she thought. "She just lets her courage lead the way sometimes." She hoped they would not let Elaine scramble into brambles she could not get out of. Walking along the hallway, she eyed the Aiel woman sideways. Avienda strode along as far from her as she could be and still remain in the same corridor. Not even glancing in Min's direction, she pulled a thickly carved ivory bracelet from her belt pouch and slipped it over her left wrist with a small, satisfied smile. She had had a fly on her nose from the first, and Min did not understand why. Aiel were supposed to be used to women sharing a man. A far cry more than she could say for herself. She just loved him so badly she was willing to share, and if she must, then there was no one in the world she would rather share with than Elaine. With her, it almost wasn't like sharing at all. This Aiel woman was a stranger, though. Elaine had said it was important they get to know one another, but how could they if the woman would not talk to her? She did not spend much time worrying about Elaine, though, or Avienda. What lay in her head was too wondrous. Rand, a little ball that told her everything about him. She had been sure the whole thing would fail, for her at least. What would making love with him be like after this, when she knew everything? Light. Of course he would know everything about her, too. She was definitely uncertain how she felt about that. Abruptly she realized that the bundle of emotions and sensations was no longer the same as at first. There was a red roaring to it now, like wildfire raging through a tinder dry forest. What could— Light! She stumbled and just caught her footing short of tumbling. If she had known this furnace, this fierce hunger was inside him, she would have been afraid to let him touch her. On the other hand, it might be nice, knowing she had sparked such an inferno. She could not wait to see whether she produced the same effect as— She stumbled again, and this time had to catch herself on an ornately carved high chest. Oh, Light! Elaine! Her face felt like a furnace. This was like peeking through the bed curtains. Hurriedly she tried the trick Elaine had told her about, imagining that ball of emotions tied up in a kerchief. Nothing happened. Frantically she tried again, but the raging fire was still there. She had to stop looking at it,
stop feeling it. Anything to get her attention anywhere but there. Anything. Maybe if she started talking. "She should have drunk that heartleaf tea," she babbled. She never told what she saw except to those involved, and only then if they wanted to hear, but she had to say something. "She'll get with child from this. Two of them, a boy and a girl, both healthy and strong."
"She wants his babies," the Aiel woman mumbled. Her green eyes stared straight ahead. Her jaw was tight, and sweat beaded on her forehead. "I will not drink the tea myself if I..."
Giving herself a shake, she frowned across the width of the hall at Min.
"My sister and the wise ones told me about you. You really see things about people that come true?"
"Sometimes I see things, and if I know what they mean, they happen," Min said. Their voices, raised to reach each other, carried along the corridor. Red and white liveried servants turned to stare at them. Min moved to the center of the hallway. She would meet the other woman halfway, no more. After a moment, Avienda joined her. Min wondered whether to tell her what she had seen while they were all together. Avienda would have Rand's babies, too. Four of them at once. Something was odd about that, though. The babies would be healthy, but still something odd. And people often did not like hearing about their futures, even when they said they wanted to. She wished someone could tell her whether she herself would... Walking along in silence, Avienda wiped sweat from her face with her fingers and swallowed hard. Min had to swallow, too. Everything Rand was feeling was in that ball. Everything.
"The kerchief trick didn't work for you either," she said hoarsely.
Avienda blinked, and crimson darkened her face. A moment later she said,
"That is better. Thank you. With him in my head, I forgot."
She frowned.
"It did not work for you?"
Min shook her head miserably.
This was indecent. "It helps if I talk, though."
She had to make friends with this woman, somehow, if this whole peculiar business was to have a hope of working.
"I'm sorry for what I said. About toes, I mean. I know a little of your customs. There's something about that man that just makes me cheeky. I can't control my tongue. But don't think I'm going to let you start hitting me or carving on me. Maybe I have toe, but we'll have to find some other way. I could always groom your horse when we have time."
"You are as proud as my sister," Avienda muttered, frowning. What did she mean by that?
"You have a good sense of humor, too."
She seemed to be talking to herself.
"You did not make a fool of yourself about Rand and Elaine the way most Wetlander women would. And you did remind me..."
With a sigh, she flipped her shawl up onto her shoulders.
"I know where there is some usquai. If you are too drunk to think, then..."
Staring down the hallway, she stopped dead.
"No," she growled, "not yet."
Coming toward them was an apparition that made Min's jaw drop. Consternation pushed Rand beyond awareness. From comments, she had known that the Captain General of Elaine's guards was a woman, and Elaine's warder to boot, but nothing else. This woman had a thick, intricate golden braid pulled over one shoulder of her short, white-collared red coat, and her voluminous blue trousers were tucked into boots, with heels as high as Min's. Auras danced around her, and images flickered. More than Min had ever seen around anyone, thousands, it seemed, cascading over one another. Elaine's warder and Captain General of the Queen's Guards wobbled a little, as though she had already been into the usquai. Servants who caught sight of her decided they had work in another part of the palace, leaving the three of them alone in the corridor. She did not seem to see Min and Avienda until she almost walked into them.
"You bloody helped her in this, didn't you?" she growled, focusing glassy-looking blue eyes on Avienda. "First she flaming vanishes out of my head, and then..."
She trembled and visibly controlled herself, but even then she was breathing hard. Her legs did not seem to want to hold her upright. Licking her lips, she swallowed and went on angrily.
"Burn her. I can't concentrate enough to shake it off. You let me tell you, if she's doing what I think she's doing, I'll kick her tickle hard around the bloody palace, and then I'll flaming welt her till she can't sit for a month, and you alongside her, if I have to find fork root to do it." "My first sister is a grown woman, Brigitte Trehelion," Avienda said truculently.
Despite her tone, her shoulders were hunched, and she did not quite meet the other woman's stare.
"You must stop trying to treat us as children." When she bloody well behaves like an adult, I bloody well treat her as one. But she has no right to do this. Not in my flaming head, she doesn't. Not in my...
Abruptly, Brigitte's glazed blue eyes bulged. The golden-haired woman's mouth dropped open, and she would have fallen if Min and Avienda had not each seized an arm. Squeezing her eyes shut, she sobbed just once, and whimpered, 2 months! Shaking free of them, she straightened and fixed Avienda with blue eyes clear as water and hard as ice.
Shield her for me, and I'll let you off your share.
Avienda's sullen, indignant glare just slid off her.
"You're Brigitte's silver bow,"
Min breathed. She had been sure even before Avienda said the name. No wonder the Aiel woman was behaving as if she feared those threats would be carried out right then and there. "Brigitte's silver bow!
I saw you at Falma."
Brigitte gave a start as if goosed, then looked around hurriedly. Once she realized they were alone, she relaxed. A little. She eyed Min up and down.
"Whatever you saw, Silverbow is dead," she said bluntly. "I'm Brigitte Trehelion now, and that's all."
Her lips twisted wryly for a moment.
"The flaming lady, Brigitte Trehelion, if you flaming please. Kiss a sheep on Mother's Day if I can do anything about that, I suppose. And who might you be when you're to home? Do you always show off your legs like a bloody feather dancer?"
"I am Min Farshaw," she replied curtly.
This was Brigitte Silverbow, hero of 100 legends? The woman was foul-mouthed. And what did she mean Silverbow was dead? The woman was standing right in front of her.
Besides, those multitudes of images and auras flashed by too quickly for her to make out any clearly, but she was certain they indicated more adventures than woman could have in one lifetime. Strangely, some were connected to an ugly man who was older than she, and others to an ugly man who was much younger, yet somehow Min knew they were the same man. Legend or no legend, that superior air irritated her no end.
"Elaine, Avienda, and I just bonded a warder," she said without thinking. "And if Elaine is celebrating a little, well, you better think twice about storming in, or you'll be the one sitting tender."
That was enough to make her aware of Rand again. That raging furnace was still there, hardly lessened at all, but thank the light he was no longer. Blood rushed into her cheeks. He had lain often enough in her arms, catching his breath in the tangle of their bedding, but this really did seem like peeping.
"Him?" Brigitte said softly. "Mother's milk in a cup. She could have fallen in love with a cut purse or a horse thief, but she had to choose him, more fool her. By what I saw of him at that place you mentioned, the man's too pretty to be good for any woman. In any case, she has to stop."
"You have no right," Avienda insisted in a sulky voice, and Brigitte took on a look of patience. Stretched patience, but still patience.
"She might be proper as a Talmuri maiden except when it comes to putting her head on the chopping block, but I think she'll wind up her courage to put him through his paces again, and even if she does whatever it was she did, she'll forget and be back in my head. I won't bloody go through that again."
She squared herself, plainly ready to march off and confront Elaine.
"Think of it as a good joke," Avienda said pleadingly.
"Pleadingly?
She has played a good joke on you, that is all."
A curl of Brigitte's lip expressed what she thought of that.
"There's a trick Elaine told me," Min said hurriedly, catching hold of Brigitte's sleeve. "It didn't work for me, but maybe..."
Unfortunately, once she had explained...
"She's still there," Brigitte said grimly after a moment. "Step out of my way, Min Farshaw," she said, pulling her arm free. "Or..."
"Usquai!"
Avienda's voice rose desperately, and she was actually wringing her hands.
"I know where there is usquai. If you are drunk, please, Brigitte, I will pledge myself to obey you as apprentice to mistress, but please do not interrupt her. Do not shame her so."
"Usquai,"
Brigitte mused, rubbing her jaw.
"Is that anything like brandy?"
I think the girl is blushing. She really is prim most of the time, you know.
"A joke, you said?"
Suddenly she grinned and spread her arms expansively.
"Lead me to this usquai of yours, Avienda. I don't know about you two, but I intend to get drunk enough to... well, to take off my clothes and dance on the table. And not a hair drunker."
Min did not understand that at all,
or why Avienda stared at Brigitta and suddenly began laughing about it being a wonderful joke, but she was sure she knew why Elaine was blushing, if she actually was. That hard ball of sensations in her head was a raging wildfire again.
"Could we go find that Usquai now?" she said. "I want to get drunk as a drowned mouse, and fast."
When Elaine woke the next morning, the bedchamber was icy. A light snow was falling on Camelin, and Rand was gone. Except inside her head. That would do. She smiled, a slow smile. For now it would. Stretching languorously beneath the blankets, she remembered her abandon the night before, and most of the day as well. She could hardly believe it had been her, and thought that she should be blushing like the sun. But she wanted to be abandoned with Rand, and she did not think she would ever blush again, not for anything connected to him. Best of all, he had left her a present. On the pillow beside her when she woke lay a golden lily in full bloom, the dew fresh on the lush petals. Where he could have gotten such a thing in the middle of winter she could not begin to imagine, but she wove a keeping around it and set it on a side table where she would see it every morning when she woke. The weave was Mugadin's teaching, but it would hold the blossom fresh forever, the dewdrops never evaporating, a constant reminder of the man who had given her his heart. Her morning was taken up with the news that Olivia had vanished during the night, a serious matter that put the kin in a tumult. It was not until Zaida appeared in a taking because Nynaeve had not come for a lesson with the Athaan Mier that Elaine learned that Nynaeve and Lan were both gone from the palace too, and no one knew when or how. Not until much later did she learn that the collection of Angreal and Turangreal they had carried out of Ebudar was missing the most powerful of the three Angreal, and several other items besides. Some of those, she was sure, were intended for a woman who expected to be attacked at any moment with the one power, which made the hastily scribbled note Nynaeve had left hidden among the remainder all the more disturbing.